Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I want to tell you about Herodotus, whose very handsome face you've had stare back at you from the podcast's logo. It's him there with his Ray-Bans. A classic look for one of the classical era's most important figures, as we sort of touched upon in the most recent full-length episode, a very full-length it was, episode 300, the history of history, get across it. Herodotus was the first person to take an approach to the investigation of history that was serious, systematized, and honestly almost scientific. Before Herodotus, major aspects of the historical record mainly just involved things like chronologies and annals, essentially just timelines. They didn't have analysis, they didn't have discussion, they didn't have interpretation. Herodotus would change all of that, though, with his work Histories, which gives a full account of the Greco-Persian Wars, amongst other stuff, which if you don't feel like reading histories, you can hear all about in episodes 184, 185, 186, get across them. But with his histories, Herodotus more or less founded the modern academic discipline and intellectual pursuit of history, and as such is known as the father of history. So it's him that you have to thank, really, for, you know, the ability for you to sit here and listen to me flap my gabber like this. And it's also why I chose him to represent the podcast with its logo. I don't want to toot my own horn too much here, but it's not a bad logo, I reckon. Slapped it together in Canva many, many, many years ago when I had no idea what I was doing, but I haven't changed it since. I think it's held up. Haven't gone through a, you know, major brand redesign. Herodotus has treated us pretty well. Anyway, we're going to talk about this bloke, his life and his times today. But here's the thing, right? When it comes to the father of history, we're actually lacking a lot of his history on a personal level. So I'm not going to be able to give you the fullest account of this bloke's life, but still, I'll share with you what we do know before we then go on to chat more about his legacy and his standing amongst historians, both back in the day and these days as well. Herodotus was born around 485 BCE. So BCE here, of course, meaning we're counting years down as time passes, not up, don't forget. He was born in the city of Halicarnassus, which is an ancient Greek city that was located in what is today Turkey. Although, at the time of Herodotus' birth, Halicarnassus was actually still under the control of the Persian Achaemenid Empire, the very same empire the Greeks fought during the Greco-Persian Wars. Now, we don't know for certain, but it seems that Herodotus came from a family that was wealthy, perhaps even aristocratic. He certainly received an excellent and therefore probably very expensive education. He was a talented writer who also seemed to be very well read. And another piece of evidence that suggests he came from money is the fact that he travelled extensively for much of his life all over the place, almost all the time for many years. And that, of course, would have been a very expensive thing to do. In fact, it's thought that Herodotus travelled so much that he never really stuck around in one place for very long throughout most of his adult life. Later on, he would kind of settle down a little bit but for much of his career, he was the original digital nomad, it seems. He was the original travel blogger. He just went from place to place and wrote stuff down. Now, what did he write down? You may wonder. He wrote down details about the things that he saw and the people that he met. But he also wrote down the stories they told him without always investigating how true those stories were. But we'll come back to that. And where did he travel, you may wonder? Well, far and wide. Herodotus roamed all over the place throughout this part of the ancient world, around the Mediterranean and a little bit beyond, perhaps. He traveled through Greece and Anatolia. He visited various city-states there. He went to Egypt. He saw the pyramids, as we talked about in episode 111. So, again, one of those things that that is funny to think about, the fact that a figure who is thousands and thousands of years old himself went and visited something else that even for him was thousands and thousands of years old, the way that history sort of gets compressed the further away we get from a point, you know, millennia ago. It's odd to think that even for Herodotus, an ancient figure to us, he goes and visits the pyramids, which were ancient to him. So I don't know. I find that very... It's a very interesting concept to think about. And in fact, I'm not making this up. It's 100% true. One of the first things that I see every morning when I wake up is the enormous framed print that I hung up on my wall in my bedroom of Jean-Léon Gérôme's Bonaparte Before the Sphinx, which, as you may have figured out from the title of the painting, depicts Napoleon Bonaparte, not one of the lesser known, more obscure Bonapartes, sitting on his horse, looking up at the ruins of the Sphinx. So I don't know. It's a concept that I enjoy thinking about, the relationships that, you know, historical figures, monuments, events have, the fact that we bundle them all into one big basket called history, and how that will eventually be where we end up too, you and I. Anyway, Herodotus and his travels visited Egypt, as I say, and other places as well across northern Africa, as well as heading over at one point to Tyre, the city of Tyre, which is in modern-day Lebanon. And this was back when Tyre was still an island before Alexander the Great came along and changed all of that, which you can hear about in episode 60, get across it. Herodotus might have also sailed down the Euphrates all the way to Babylon in modern-day Iraq, although that would have been a very long bloody way to go back then, and it's not actually 100% sure that he made it that far. But in any case, the fact that he could travel so far and wide and for so long throughout many, many years of his life suggested that he was a man of means. And it also may have been that his family was quite well connected with various people from different communities across this part of the ancient world, because Halicarnassus itself, it was a bustling port town. It regularly had visitors from far off places that, you know, may have come and developed links with Herodotus's family. But again, this is all speculation, right? We don't know whose couches he was crashing on as he was traveling around. Whatever the case, though, we do know that he did spend much of his life going from place to place and writing extensively about where he went and the things he saw when he was off on his travels. There are also some historians who believe that Herodotus spent some time serving as a soldier, as a hoplite in the military. The reason for this is the accuracy, which is not something that Herodotus is always known for, as we'll come to. The accuracy he used when describing battles and military affairs. But again, we're not sure. I'm sorry to be so vague about all this, but we really just don't have an ironclad understanding of exactly what Herodotus got up to throughout much of his life, really. And a lot of it is guesswork, and in some cases, not even educated guesswork. We just try to do the best we can with what we have. But we do know for certain, at one point around 447 BCE, Herodotus settled down in Athens for a couple of years while the famous Pericles was in charge. I'll have to do an episode on him one of these days. Herodotus became very well known and very well liked by the people of Athens. By this stage, he had collected a lifetime's worth of stories from his travels, and he loved to retell them. He'd written them all down, of course, but he also seemed to have been a talented speaker, because he would draw crowds of people as he stood out in public and retold the stories that he had collected, both his and the ones that he'd been told by others on his travels. And it seems that he had specific stories prepared that he liked to tell. He had them rehearsed and worked out to be, you know, you presume, as entertaining as possible. And people loved it. He was a very popular speaker in Athens. But even this great city and the popularity he enjoyed there couldn't hold him, because a couple of years later, in around 443 BCE, he moved on once more, this time to southern Italy, to a colony that Athens was attempting to establish there called Thurii. And while in Thurii, Herodotus spent some time collating and organizing many of the stories that he had collected, and this ultimately resulted in him producing his magnum opus, Histories, which today is the oldest surviving intact piece of Greek prose. The text was published properly in 430 BCE, and it's an account of the rise of the Persian Empire and its conflict with the Greeks during the Greco-Persian War. And it is also the world's first systematically investigated historical text, and as a result is considered the founding document of the discipline, even if it isn't, you know, Completely accurate, which I promise you we're coming to, don't you worry. The book was an instant classic. People loved it. Herodotus took it to the Olympics one year, and he read it from beginning to end to a rapturous audience that gathered to hear him speak, which included, one story tells us, Thucydides, the next great Greek historian. Although that might be apocryphal. We're not sure. It could have happened, certainly. Thucydides was a good 25 years younger than old mate Herodotus, but still he could have been at this Olympic celebration and listened to Herodotus speak. Later on in life, Thucydides would end up as a colleague of Herodotus, but honestly, he didn't seem to think too much of his predecessor. He ended up as being a bit of a critic of Herodotus more than a colleague, again, because of our mate's rather loosey-goosey relationship with the truth sometimes. There's also another possibly apocryphal tale about Herodotus reading histories at the Olympics. You may have heard the saying. It's not a hugely popular saying. I certainly had never heard it before I researched this, but apparently it exists. Herodotus and his shade. And it's used to refer to someone waiting too long to do something, right? Like it's a saying you invoke when someone's taking their time with doing something they should just get on with. And the story comes from possibly apocryphal tale that while reading at the Olympics, or before he went on to read, Herodotus refused to start speaking until the place he was going to read from, right, was shaded from the sun. So he might have been a bit precious, Herodotus. Maybe the dizzying heights of celebrity got to the bloke in the end. Who knows? But whatever the case, we do know he was well known, he was well liked, and the book that he wrote, Histories, was very, very well received. But sadly, Herodotus died. Before or at the age of 60, in around 425 BCE. And like much of his life, we just don't know all that much about his death either. He might have died of the plague that was ravaging Athens at the time, the very same plague that killed Pericles, or he could have died in Thurii, where he'd settled over in southern Italy, we don't know. But we do know that his death was mourned by a great many, because as I say, he's a famous bloke and they were sorry to see him die. But there's another saying you may have heard of here, another one I want to share with you. The saying, they say you die twice, once when you stop breathing, and then a second time a bit later on when someone says your name for the very last time. And in that respect, Herodotus is still very much with us to this day. You see his face whenever you download this podcast and you celebrate his legacy as the father of history whenever you listen to it. But it would be wrong of me, I think, to publish an episode about Herodotus without talking about the fact that while he's known to some as the father of history, he's known to others as the father of lies. Herodotus was not always completely accurate or truthful when it came to his stories, as, again, we touched upon in the last episode and as I've sort of been teasing throughout this one. Now, this wasn't necessarily done with malice by Herodotus. Generally speaking, what happened was this. He would just listen to and accept the stories that he was told by other people without ever really checking up on them. The best way to sum up Herodotus' approach to history is with the phrase, never let the truth get in the way of a good story. And look, in fairness to the bloke, at his time, there wasn't a historiographical culture of rigid and rigorous truth-telling. Like there is today, there wasn't a historiographical culture of anything, as this bloke kind of invented the concept himself. So if you hold him to modern standards, yes, Herodotus produced inaccurate, fanciful, and honestly misleading work. His work includes tales and elements that are very clearly mythological or legendary or supernatural. Although, again, to come to his defense, this wasn't always his fault, because check this out, right? Herodotus... To give you an example of something that you might think is, you know, fanciful and supernatural and didn't deserve to be in a serious history book, Herodotus wrote about ants, right, that were the size of foxes and could be found in Persia, these ants, massive great big ants found in Persia, that would dig up gold dust and spread it around their holes. Now, this sounds ridiculous, right? This sounds like something out of a bloody D&D campaign. There's no way that these gold-digging ants that are the size of foxes existed in ancient Persia, right? Well, no, it's not. Obviously, no, there weren't fox-sized ants digging up gold for people. But in that time, in Persia, there was a marmot-like creature that used to, believe it or not, dig up gold dust while it made its burrow. And it just so happens that the Persian term for mountain ant sounds very similar to marmot. Herodotus' account may have just been the result of a dodgy translation from Persian to his native Greek that, again, he never bothered to check up on. He didn't go, seriously, an ant? An ant the size of a fox? No, he was just like, all right, well, I'm not going to question that. I'll just write it down. And, you know, maybe he cops a bit of flack for that, and maybe some of that flack like is justified. It doesn't really get him off the hook. And also, certainly not when you look at plenty of the other howlers that he included in his work. History just doesn't really hold up to modern or, honestly, even ancient historical standards. For instance, Herodotus had a very bad habit of taking stories that had been told by people and not only not checking the details, but then also retelling them like he had been there. So he'd hear someone tell a great story about something that happened, and then the next time he would tell the story, it was him that the thing happened to. So, yeah, I mean, I've got a mate who does this a lot. It's very annoying. He also, actually, this would be a good test. He claims he listens to the podcast. So if he comes and complains to me about the fact that he does this, I'll know that he actually does. I don't think he does listen to the podcast. I think he's a fake fan, and we'll know because he hates it when I bring it up. He hates it when I bring up the fact that he does this and change the story so he's the protagonist all of a sudden. Anyway, Herodotus' bad habit of doing this, right, it actually casts some doubt onto the very little that we think we know about the bloke. As you can imagine, right, there's not much we do know for certain, and then there are all these other stories that apparently he was involved in. We can't tell the truth from the fiction. I mentioned before, we think he visited Babylon, but maybe he never did. Maybe he just retold other people's stories about the place in the first person. We don't know. Also, I have to be a bit wary of criticizing him for this, as I'm sure you'll agree once I tell you what it is. He also interspersed his historical writing with his own opinions on the people and the events and the things that he was covering. Sometimes these opinions would run to a great length as well. But again, don't know how much of a go I can have at him about that, you know, kettle, pot, black, etc. But Herodotus' personal biases are very much on display in his work. And look, I guess, you know, here's what I'll say. I'm continuing on the proud traditions of the father of history in that regard. But look, also, once again, to come to his defense another time here, Herodotus never actually presented his work as being definitive or comprehensive or absolutely true. In fact, he interrupts many of his stories in the middle of telling them. In his writing, to remind people that this is just what he heard. He hasn't checked it. It might not be true. There's one passage where he makes the following remark. I am bound to tell what I am told, but not in every case to believe it. Now, obviously, this isn't a particularly robust approach for a historian to take, but remember this, right? These days, you can learn how to be a historian. You can learn how to research and write like a historian. You can be taught, like with any other long-established profession, the best practices for a historian, what to do and what not to do. So before we're too hard on Herodotus for not living up to historiography's high standards, let's remember that this bloke was making it up as he went, both in the sense that he didn't have anyone to teach him how to do what he was doing, and, you know, yes, also the fact that he often just made things up as he was writing. Sure, okay, fine. All the same, Herodotus remains a figure of central foundational importance in history, both in the traditional sense as a famous identity from the ancient world, but also in the sense of history as an academic discipline. Maybe you think this is a little bit silly, but I personally feel that I owe Herodotus and a great many other famous historians a great debt for establishing a discipline, a culture, and a passion to which I devote the majority of my waking hours. And quite aside from all of that, Herodotus also, from what we know about him, just seems to have been a pretty good bloke. He loved to travel, he loved to listen to or tell a story, and very likely, he loved to have a bit of fun as well, as evidenced by my very favourite quote of his. If a man insisted always on being serious and never allowed himself a bit of fun and relaxation, he would go mad or become unstable without knowing it.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.